Welcome to Make It in the 80s, podcast about the 80s. People talking about it on this podcast, they were made in the 80s. I'm Shalia, and with me as always...
Hey, this is Kendon.
And Tim.
Okay, we need to know what's happening here in Club Southend and the rest of the world, this world of 2017, not 1980, not 1987. Tim, this will be released December 11, 2017. What is happening in the world?
Hellboy has a release date.
Yes. What is it?
It is January 11th, 2019.
Who's they got playing?
David Harbour, the guy from Stranger Things, the sheriff.
Chief Hopper. That's exciting.
He's pretty cool.
Okay, so one thing when we did our Stranger Things episode that we didn't get to, and it was just because it was so long, there was so much to cover, but Chief Hopper is badass. Like, especially in season one, he's just walking around punching people. And it's government people. He's, like, sneaking around. He's not, like, super sleek, but he is pretty just legit good, bad guy.
He's a really good bad guy.
He's a badass good guy, yeah. I think is what...
He's a badass good guy.
Bad being good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think playing Hellboy will be really fun. You know what else is happening today?
Yes. What? No, I don't.
Kendon, do you know what other news should people should be knowing about on December 11?
Is it your birthday?
It's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
My birthday. Thank you.
In the future.
So, are you using Sing?
No, we get sued.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, the song is licensed.
Not anymore. It expired.
Meanwhile,
just last week, we all sang the song for Justin. So clearly you guys love Justin more than me. I'm going to remember that. I'm not singing for either of your birthdays. You're welcome.
That's all right.
I'm sure you don't have a problem with that. So usually there's a birthday movie for me.
Oh, what's the movie?
There's always a good movie coming out the week of my birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Okay, that's all you get.
Thank you, babe. I feel so special. So this week, different years. I think one year it was like Sherlock. I'm going to make January 11, 2019 my next birthday movie. It'll just be a month late. I think that sounds perfect.
Okay.
But so this week.
I don't think you get to do that.
Why not? It's my birthday.
This is statute of limitations.
1 month?
Yes.
All right, fine. I'll pick something else then.
Like, that's literally an entire different zodiac sign.
Okay, well, for this year, 2017, that's next year, so we'll worry about it later. 2017, what is coming out this week?
Star Wars.
The Last Jedi. So we're going to see it. Ken and I are going to see it on Saturday. The Saturday the 16th? Mm-hmm. Is that right? So we're excited, but we haven't seen it yet. So no spoilers coming from us. But Tim, you might have seen it by then.
Possibly, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So this is going to be interesting for you to listen to this recording when we release it, because you're going to be like, oh, was I wrong about XYZ?
No.
Okay. Well, who wants... No, well, actually, so we're excited for Star Wars. And so one of the things we're doing this week is, I think, the movie that... brought us where we are, maybe 1980 Star Wars. Which one is it?
Officially, it's episode 5?
5.
That's right.
The Empire Strikes Back.
Released May 17th, 1980.
So it was made in the 80s. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I don't even think we need to say whether it was influential or not, but I think we should just because it's fun to talk about.
I think
about.
Its influence on me is questionable, honestly.
Really? You think so?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Tim, what did you get us for our wedding present?
What do you mean questionable? What are you talking about?
I'm bullshitting.
I was about to say. Yeah. What do you have? Who are you right now?
We don't currently have any of our art hung on the walls, but Tim's like...
Tim got
wedding
us
present for us.
The most badass picture. We got it framed and everything. Just Vader walking through the snow.
Yeah.
Stormtroopers behind him.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
It hurt to part with that. But I love you guys. So I did. But yeah.
That's... One of these days we're going to actually get our pictures on these walls. And then you'll get to see it every week.
Yeah.
You can visit.
And cry.
Visitation rights. Okay.
You said visitation rights?
Supervised. We're going to have to watch
supervised you. Supervised meditation. Make sure I don't take it.
Yep. Make sure you don't take it. Okay. So, directed by?
Kirschner?
I believe so.
Yeah.
And like we said, released in 1980.
What's his first name?
Irvin.
Irvin Kershner.
Mm-hmm. And it's a Lucasfilms production.
Yep.
It is not SAG compliant. One of the things I think is very iconic from these movies and...
The John Williams music?
That is just ridiculously good. Yeah. It's so much fun.
But I think she's talking about getting into the movie without having the credits ahead of time.
That's, yeah. So just the, here you are, the music is playing and it's like, where are you? Where in the, like, what's happening? And I think... Especially for comic, like people who like comic books, it's really nice to get that beat. Like, where are we? What's happening? And not have to wait for that.
Well, in watching a lot of this older stuff, I'm starting to kind of realize that one of the benefits of doing that is this: it does not remind you that this is a production, a play. It doesn't remind you that the characters are not real.
Right.
That it's being that it's being played by actors. You get to know who that is at the end. But when you watch a lot of movies made before this period, you like they usually have this kind of disconnected sort of section where some characters are doing something, and you've got the credits playing, not just the actors, but just all types of the people who made the movie. It's like, okay, well, you're introducing what you're about to watch and who made this and stuff like that. It's like sitting and reading the program or something at a play, right? But here you just get straight into the world, and nothing about the world outside of what's being presented to you is being shown up front.
So I think that is ironic the way you just described that, because me watching it, it reminded me of a play, like of a stage play. Yes, you have the program beforehand and you're sitting for the play to start and you're reading that stuff. But most plays that I've ever been to, they get into it. You like the actors come on stage and they just start. There's none of this. And first we're going to do, I mean, there might be a narrator who's going to set it up, but for a play, once that curtain like comes up, the lights go down, you see the show. Like there's none of this like
credits. Before that happens, do you read the...
Yeah, while I'm waiting, I will read it.
So, like, okay. So that's the effect it has on me. Because before all that happens, I'm reading the thing. And I'm like, oh, so-and-so is playing this. Mm-hmm. And their biography is this.
Yeah.
So that's the effect it has on me.
Yeah.
For me, there's something about the nostalgia. Like, all the movies start the same.
Yes,
same music, same scroll.
Yes.
And it does that little weird melody. And it gets right to whatever they... Whether it's a planet, whether it's a ship, whatever. It gets right to it. I think that's... And I know the
Unless it's Rogue One, right?
Yeah.
And that's a good deviation, because it's not in these episodes.
It's not the same thing. Yeah, I like it.
So, speaking of Rogue One, I know that we're not spoiling Rogue One, since it's
been out for a year.
It's a story that we kind of know. But
they got the plans of the Death Star.
So without without spoiling the show, like that movie too much, I had a question, because in Empire Strikes Back, there is a point where basically when Han and Luke are out in the snow, the ship that comes and finds them and gets them, that's Rogue Two. And so I'm confused what Rogue is and how they number them, and if this is like literally number two to that number one, or if there's lots of different types, so or if it's Rogue, like a Camry.
Rogue Squadron would be a group of pilots, right?
Right.
It's a group of pilots. So, for instance, Luke becomes Red 5, right?
Yes.
He becomes Red 5 in the first Star Wars movie. I'm going to call it A New Hope. He becomes Rogue 5, replacing... Who was Rogue 5 before him? Biggs?
The guy who gets shot down, right? In the first movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't forget who it is, yeah.
There's like a scene that's not in the standard version.
No, but yeah, I've seen it though, yeah.
So he's being slotted into a position of, I don't know, say a dozen pilots. So Rogue Squadron. I remember this from like, there's Rogue Squadron games I grew up playing. So yeah, that's...
So it's
Rogue... And they even refer to him as the pilot who took down the Death Star.
Hmm. Yeah.
In this movie. Like, that's how he's referred to.
Okay, so there's a Rogue Squadron, and that just continues on, and then at any given time, so at this period of time, 1980, the second pilot in Rogue Squadron was this one. Versus minus 5 years? What's the time difference between end of Rogue One and and Empire Strikes Back?
The time difference between two movies is 3 years.
Okay, so 3 years plus a little because Rogue One is before that other movie. So, right. So back then, 1975, the Rogue Squadron number one pilot was...
Okay, actually, I'm a little bit embarrassed as a Star Wars fan. It is actually supposed to be real-time 3 years between the destruction of the first Death Star and when the Empire finds them on Hoth?
Yes. It's supposed to be 3 years.
Okay.
Similar to our very first movie that we did on the podcast was Rocky.
Mm-hmm.
And
three years difference.
Yeah, and it was funny because we started with Rocky 3, so we were like, okay, so the other one happened in the 70s, and now here we are. So this one came out in 1980, so that would mean episode 4, A New Hope, came out in 1977?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And do we want to talk about the plot?
The plot is pretty simple.
Well, yeah. I have a quick question.
Yes.
So, then for Return of the Jedi, is it supposed to be another real-time 3 years?
I have no idea how long that is. I know it's different. I know it's 3 years different between these two movies. I don't know how long it is between Jedi and those Ewoks and those toys they're trying to sell.
All that nonsense.
All that craziness.
That movie needs to be re-edited.
Yeah, it should be.
So, do they might say it in the intros. Do they say how long, they say where you are? The words in the very beginning.
It depends. But recognize them. I don't know them by heart. I have to watch it again. I'll watch the beginning again and see if it says.
Yeah. I honestly don't read them anymore.
What do you mean where they are?
They usually say, like, in this place, they're doing X, Y, Z.
The scroll, it establishes that they have a hidden base on Hoth.
Yeah. Do they say what time period it is at all?
No, I think that's almost purposeful, really. Yeah. Even though you know how long it is, and I didn't, I think it's almost purposeful. It's just kind of like, this is an ongoing story, this is the next event.
Yeah. Imagine coming through a book and you just land on a new chapter.
Yeah.
And you skip a couple chapters, but now we're picking up with the Empire's trying to find them, and they're on a hidden base on Hoth.
Or comic books, right? Yeah. Because these were originally comic
stories? No.
Star Wars was basically an updating of like the old Flash Gordon serials.
Okay. Serials.
Yeah.
So I guess that was my point. That it was their serials, like that's how they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Stop and then the next one comes in the series. But yeah, it could be a day, it could be longer.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think they're not interested necessarily in the kind of the more mundane. Saying quote stuff that happened in between. It's like these are the landmark moments in this era, this period of the conflict. It's like these are when the big things happened.
Right.
Okay. So I think each of you should give us your very short summary of the plot. But first, I think
I want to hear yours.
I have a challenge for you. Can you give us the plot in 5 words or less?
Yes.
Okay, let's do it.
Luke has to save his friends.
Aww.
That's what it boils down to.
Okay.
He has to make a choice. He has to make that choice when he's talking to Yoda.
I'm going to put a... Luke. Let's put a pin in that because I want to say something about that, actually. Hold on. I'm going to click my pen. Ready?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't want to interrupt anyone. I'm putting a pin in that because I have a question of that.
All right.
Luke didn't fail his training.
He didn't.
I like it.
He didn't fail his training.
And I think... Okay, so I really don't want to do this, but if I'm going to bring in the prequels a little bit...
Oh! Wait a minute.
Like, I feel like...
All three of them, are you picking up certain prequels?
No, just kind of in general. Okay. Well, like everything that has been in the... How do I say? Everything that we've learned about the Jedi outside of these three movies, these three canonical movies. The whole, like, there is some course to the training. Like, there's... I feel like he becomes like a true Jedi, like a true hero by making that choice.
Yes.
And except, I mean, the fact that he makes it because of anger or emotion maybe gives his teachers a little bit of credibility to what the teachers are saying. But in the end, what else are these people there for? And one of the, I guess, better things about the prequels is, I mean, they're showing the Jedi, and the Jedi, I think, are kind of bullshit. They look like they sit around, they're kind of detached, they go, ah, blah, 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 blah. And it's almost like they're kind of an organization that's lost their true purpose or heart or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, they should, it's one of those, they should be down with the people. Like, down within the people and
that's helping how, that's out. That's how it started.
And good, yeah, doing good works, this or that sort of thing. And instead you've got them up in temples and, you know, Qui-Gon casually cheating and buying slaves and just all of this other stuff. And I think that's why Luke, he's a great character, because in the end, you know what it is? Everything comes back to Vin Diesel and the Fast and the Furious. It's about family. It's all about family. He could go and finish his coursework. He could check all that off and get his Jedi degree. But no, he's like, no, this is my family. You know, you can talk to me about emotion and all this other stuff. I'm going to take care of my family.
So I was going to wait till we get into that, but yes. I think we've talked about enough that my point that I wanted to make is appropriate. So this happens. He's spent some time with Yoda training, and he sees his friends heading into a trap. And he knows it's a trap, and yeah. He knows that it's a trap, and that he... The point of the trap is for him to come save them, and it's like he knows that. Yeah. He knows he's going into a trap for him. He chooses to go, like, sacrifice himself, and you're saying that's like a sign of his true Jedi, and right. It's like his... I don't think so. I think he's impatient, like Yoda says, and what was his rush? If the whole point was to hold his friends hostage so that he comes, why couldn't he have finished his training and then come? What was the rush?
Because they would go and find somebody else to torture.
Because of what they know about Vader and how evil they are. Like,
what he's feeling is the dark side. Leia is hanging out.
No, he's not frozen in sleep. In fact, he's the one that they show being tortured.
Yeah, but he's going to be okay.
How does he know that?
Okay, so he does think it's urgent.
Yes.
Because when I'm watching this, I'm like, okay, now Han is asleep and frozen, so he's not even going to age. And Leia and Chewbacca are here, and we know they're just... I mean, they even put them all in the same waiting room. They put C-3PO in with Chewbacca. Chewbacca can put them back together. I'm like, this is not like super torture, bad situation with them just waiting.
Not yet.
Right. And so it could be that. So I'm sitting there like... They could handle this for another couple weeks so that Luke could finish his training.
Here's the thing, okay. but what we know with the undertone of this is like how evil the Empire is. So this idea that you can just leave your friends dangling around the Empire and they'll be okay is not wise.
Okay.
Like if he doesn't show up, they'll start killing them slowly. Like it's ratcheting up until he finally does something.
All right. Thank you. You guys have convinced me. Mm-hmm. It was a good thing for him to do.
Okay.
That was the first time I had, watching for this episode, was the first time I had even thought about that. And I'm like, I don't know.
The plot of Empire Strikes Back.
Wait, pause. Sorry, Kendon, but Tim, you had 6 words. Luke had to save his friends?
Yeah.
That's 6 words.
Luke saves his friends.
There we go. Okay.
There you go.
I wanted to make sure you get credit for getting your 5 words.
Luke saves his friends is the plot. Yeah.
Kendon, what is the plot in more words?
In more words?
In more words.
Okay. So, basically, at the end of the first movie, they have destroyed the Death Star. Mm-hmm. Now, that seems like a really big moment, a really big victory, but I really appreciate it. So, what you're finding out is that doesn't really take down an entire organization, mm-hmm. right? They're not going to pull down the Empire just by destroying their super weapon, right? So, what's going on here now is that they have had to continually run and hide from the Empire, which is the governing body of the known universe, or the part of the universe, galaxy, I should say, that we know of, mm-hmm. right? So they've been running out of places to hide, and they end up on a base in a remote planet called Hoth. It's a snow planet with very cold temperature, and basically the Empire has been searching for them. And what we don't know yet is that Darth Vader and the Emperor know now that Luke is a Skywalker, and they're feeling out where he is, both using the Force and also by sending out these probes, right? These probes that turn into droids. kind of like Transformers.
Yes, right? Very much like Transformers.
So one of them stumbles upon where they are, and this is the first setup where Vader just chokes people throughout this movie. So the Empire arrives, and they are the rebellion is scrambling to try to get out. They successfully mostly evade. I think they all get away, really.
Yeah, they all get away. The main characters all get away.
All the main characters get away. They're able to evade capture because one of the
you're missing an integral part. During Luke's little, like, I'm about to die of freeze to death, he gets a vision that tells him he has to go to a planet to train.
Yeah, I was about to say that. So my point being is, okay, so they all escape, and then I was going to say, but they kind of are getting separated, right? Because Luke has had a vision from Obi-Wan, who passed away in the previous movie, that Luke needs more training, and he's going to get training from his old master, Obi-Wan's old master, and his name is Yoda. And he's in the Dagobah system. He doesn't even say he's on Dagobah. That's interesting. Maybe there's only one planet. But okay. In fact, a Dagobah system would be the name of the star.
Yeah. It would be.
But everybody just refers to it at the planet as Dagobah. But it'd probably be like Dagobah 1, Dagobah 2. Anyways, that's nerd stuff.
Yeah. I have a question about the snow planet. Should I ask that before we move on or ask it later?
What's your question about the snow planet?
Okay. So
your questions are hilarious, by the way.
Here's my question. Luke's out in the snow. He gets knocked out by this abominable snowman, right? And then, like, he gets knocked out, and then he's in the cave,
mm-hmm.
right? And he escapes, and then he's out in the snow.
It's called a wampa, just.
A wampa. Mm-hmm. He gets, knocked out by a wampa. The way that he defeats the wampa is by cutting off its arm. I was wondering if that's a little bit of foreshadowing because he's in this cave. I was wondering if that even actually happened or if he wasn't just passed out in the snow that whole time and Han found him there.
People lose arms all the time in Star Wars movies. It's like a running joke. And Avengers movies, people lose arms.
So, you know what? Already then? Because Luke's arm is going to come off at the end of this movie.
No, it's not. It's just his hand. Okay, so it's fine. Not quite.
The Wampa's hand. It was not like the. It wasn't from the shoulder, I don't think. But my question is, it's like the first couple minutes of the movie, and they happen to have him cutting off somebody's limb. I thought that might be something. You guys don't see. No. Based on your faces, you don't think so.
You know
so.
What's crazy is that I don't know that when I was watching this movie growing up, that they confirmed that it was his arm.
Yeah.
They don't show the Wampa fully again after he swings the saber. I thought he cut off his leg.
Yeah,
which always I have to look. It made more sense because then he couldn't chase him.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it could be foreshadowing, but I don't know.
All right,
I feel like the hand being cut off is more of a it's supposed to be an echo with Vader.
Yes,
because he's becoming more machine. He has to become more machine, and it happened because of impulsiveness and anger, and all of that.
So we're at. He has to go training on the Dagobah system. Is what we're at. So he gets to the Dagobah system. So he's at the Dagobah system training. He finds Yoda, blah, 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 blah. Meanwhile, the other people are in the Millennium Falcon and they're being chased. They end up on a planet and inside some creature's mouth. And then they end up at Cloud City where Han Solo thinks he's going to get help from his good old buddy, Lando Calrissian.
Lando!
And that ends up being the trap that they're in. Lando's like, oh, I made a deal. They won't mess with us anymore. The door's open. And there they are waiting for him. But the one thing I enjoy about this whole plot, having rewatched it, is like Vader is like on their heels the whole time.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is something that's missing in a lot of these other movies. He's not like a figure who's just like up on a shelf who randomly pops in and out. Like he shows up on the planet where they're at. He shows up in Cloud City. He's like in Luke's face taunting him, telling him to, yeah, use your anger. That's like, perfect. Yeah, like.
No, he gets involved.
Yeah, he's in it. He's in the mix.
When Leia and Han Solo get led into this room to have dinner, he's at the dinner table.
He's at the dinner table.
I always loved that image. and he's like, just sit down.
Yeah, join me. It's like, wait a second, you're Vader. This isn't what I think.
Vader is heavily involved in this movie. I think that's why it's probably my favorite. He shows up like such a force of nature.
Which is why, like, everything about Anakin from the prequel movies bothered me. The whole idea of all this Chosen One nonsense and all of that stuff. And it was largely redeemed by the scene at the end of Rogue One.
Yes.
Where he just wrecks shit. Because that's what he did. And you know what? As homework for these movies, look up the Red Letter Media videos that kind of deconstruct the prequel movies, and they make a good point. It's like he was never supposed to be. They call him Space Jesus, but he was like he was more like a SS officer from a Nazi SS. He comes down, wrecks shit, and shows you the Empire means business.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's
the enforcer.
He's the enforcer.
Or taking an idea from Thor, is it the executioner?
No, he's more than that.
No, he is. No, actually, that's what he is.
He does both, but I think he's definitely heavily involved. The character in Thor, I thought just he was getting.
I don't think that Thor did a good job of getting across. We're talking now about Thor Ragnarok,
don't
and we're
spoil
not going to
spoil.
We're not spoiling anything. Just that the main character wants another character to be what she calls her executioner. Which doesn't just mean the person who executes people for her, but executes her plans. The person who's out actually taking care of things, right? Which is exactly what Vader is up to.
My point was, like, we don't ever see that in Thor.
Not yet.
In Thor.
Right.
With the character. But yes.
Yeah, and you get that with Vader, because you know what? Vader's out, like, I love the term Space Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Because Vader's, like, clearly not so precious. He's disposable enough to the Emperor that in the first movie, he can be out in a damn TIE fighter.
Yes.
Right? He could have gotten clipped. Like, there's all sort of accidental things that can happen when you're flying a plane or a spaceship, I'm sure. Like, he could have died there.
I know.
We said, listen, if he was that important, he wouldn't be out doing that.
Except for he's also got the Force. Like, he's the strongest Force carrier, like, in the world right now, as far as they're aware. So, like,
I'm pretty sure the Emperor is more powerful.
Okay, so between him and the Emperor, I think they feel pretty good that he's flying in a bubble and they're not going to get him.
No.
Like, he's not going to crash in that. He'll fly.
I think that if you're really, like...
And they sort of brought that back with Kylo Ren in The Force Awakens.
Yeah.
Well, he shows up at the beginning of that village, wrecking shop with everybody.
That's the cool thing about and the Jedi temple and all that stuff. These guys are off to the side in the other movies. Always bug me, but like that's the thing. The Sith, especially the junior Sith or whatever you want to call them, they're active. It's exactly what you're saying.
They're
like
active.
They need to go out and they need to fight. And if something goes down, they're gonna have to find another person to fill. Like I never got the impression, especially from Obi-Wan's speech in the first movie, that Vader was something so special. Like, he was strong in the Force, but so was Obi-Wan, right? If Obi-Wan had a kid, and the Emperor could get his hands on that kid, it would be the same thing.
I think what made him special was that he used to be one of them. I think that's what they allude to, not that he was, like, somehow better than everybody.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, you can take... It's like you're... What do you call that? Like, in the business world, headhunting.
Yes.
Right? Somebody else paid to get this guy trained,
mm-hmm.
right? And then you just come over and snatch him up and say, okay, now you're working for me, right? So that's... I always liked that.
Yeah.
You know? So, did I answer your question?
I think we're still.
Do we have a question?
No, the plot. So yeah, they end up on Cloud City in a trap, and Luke has to come save him. He has to leave his training to come save them and make a choice to either continue his training and maybe his friends die or go save them, go to Cloud City. So it's a big showdown in Cloud City.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. That is the plot.
Do either of you have a favorite character from this movie?
I mean, other than Vader?
Other than Vader. Vader
and Lando.
Lando.
Lando
just pops on the screen.
Other answer?
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it's Lando. He just pops when he shows up on the screen. He's got that long blue cape.
Shout out to my new favorite podcast, Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And the reference to Lando is the space pimp.
He is the space pimp.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm interested to see how he's got the boots. How they do him in the Solo movie.
It's going to be great. Donnie Glover's playing him. It's going to be great.
Yeah.
I'm excited for it. Yeah, he's interesting because he's easily the guy to like. And then you're like, oh, no, that's right. He does betray them. But then he fixes it. So you're able to continue liking him because he's not a bad guy.
That's what works about him.
He's not a bad guy.
He's not a bad guy, yeah. And he does help them. And he it's all kind of partial stuff.
Right.
He fixes what he can. He's never... I don't even want to say he really betrays them.
Because imagine the mob shows up and says, you have to do this thing.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really... You can't really say no. Right. So he has to say yes and fix the wrongs that are happening.
Well, and also, like... Han is coming and just dropping a problem on his lap.
Yes.
Oh, we're all friends. And he does make some interesting statements, like, as he's introducing them to Cloud City. He's like, Han is like, you're a responsible leader now. And he's just talking about running a business and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or a whole facility. And it's like, between however long you guys have seen each other, this guy has responsibilities. He has other people he is responsible to. So, in one sense, you can look at it as a betrayal, but to be like, we were friends when we were younger, and I'm just going to go ride with you, you're actually betraying a bunch of people in your own facility. Like, yeah. Other people
who you're responsible for. It's a whole
city. An entire, city. Right? Like, dude who never talks and has... His name's Lobot. I just want to call him dude, though. Dude with the cyborg stuff on the back of his head.
Yeah.
You know? I'm sure they have fun times together. Yeah. Playing cards or something.
You're having a chill day, you're Lando, and all of a sudden, the Empire shows up.
Yeah.
And they're like, there's people headed this way, and I'm going to need your cooperation.
Yeah.
It's not a question.
And you know what's so great? You need
to be like, I'm good.
Man, Vader is so great. And it definitely shows that the whatever offer he gave him at the beginning, he was like, okay, like, this is kind of shitty. Because he said, they didn't even want you guys. They just want some guy named Skywalker.
Yeah, Skywalker, yeah.
So it wasn't even necessarily a betrayal of anybody he knows.
Yeah. Some guy he does not know.
Some guy he doesn't know who's rolling with your friend. It's like, so taking Han and giving him to a bounty hunter wasn't part of the original plan.
Yeah, and he said that. He gets upset when that happens.
Requiring these people to stay was not, stay on Cloud City was not part of the plan. And you even get the threat at the end where he's like, Vader's like, it would be a shame if I had to leave a garrison here.
Yeah.
So.
And even Vader asks him if he has a problem with the plan or something, like when he mm-hmm. argues about it.
Do you feel like you're being treated unfairly?
Yeah. He asks me if you feel like you're being treated unfairly.
You know what that sounds like?
He can't say yes.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like Bane.
Yes.
Say, do you feel in control?
Yeah. Yeah. So Lando's in a really bad situation.
And I think he does. Almost a heroically good job of doing what he can as just one person, like a cog in the universe.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, so here's my problem.
Oh, no.
And this is a new problem. This is a new one. I don't know the last time I saw this episode.
Yeah.
It's been a while. So this is the first time I've ever had this experience with Lando. I always really liked him. And I still really like him. If I had to pick a favorite character, it might be him. But he's kind of gross. Like, the way he is with Leia from the very beginning.
He's a space pimp.
And that's when you say that, it's like a little bit... Yeah, he's kind of... He's gross.
Definitely... kind of a view from 2017 would amplify even that. But, I mean, that's why they got...
Billy Dee.
Billy Dee, yeah.
Because women love Billy Dee.
That, you got to think of who he was.
It wasn't weird for him to be like looking her up and down.
At the time, it was in the 70s? Yeah.
Like who he was in the 70s. He was like, the Colt 45 malt liquor guy?
Yeah. And it was a way to show that it's as even as problematic as it sounds, it was a way to show that Princess Leia is attractive because this man, Billy Dee, wants her.
Okay. So, new question.
Yeah.
Is Leia racist?
No.
Because she doesn't like him.
No,
she's like, why doesn't she like him? What's wrong with him that she doesn't like him?
She's scruffy looking.
Yeah.
She doesn't like, I mean.
She doesn't look scruffy.
She doesn't really like Han from the get.
Like, imagine you're in the middle of running for your life and some dude's hitting on you. You're probably like.
But this guy who apparently everyone loves?
Doesn't matter. You're in the middle of running for your life and some dude's hitting on you. Like, I really don't have time for this right now. She does not have time for any of that.
Okay.
And at this point, she also is working on having a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you get that moment.
I don't have that question about her.
I want to say that she can't, it's hard to say, she can't be racist because I don't think that those sort of constructs exist. It's probably why I loved Star Wars growing up. Now, you can say, is the show or is the movie or the people who made it, is there some racism going on there? that's a question that is up for debate. But no, I really don't think that's what... I think she doesn't trust him because he's too smooth.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those... Because you think about her, she's a political leader. She's running a rebellion. She's all business. And this guy comes up and is all sly. Or sly, like, slick, kind of like, hey, what's up? Like, she's like, don't you want me for my mind?
Yeah.
I guess, but like, I just... My reaction to him watching it is what I'm saying. It, like, that's, I think, what her reaction was... A little bit. He's kind of like, whoa, right? And you guys are saying, but that's who it is. And at the time, that was appropriate. And that, like, this guy.
But I think we're talking about two separate things. We're talking about casting Billy Dee Williams to play this this guy who's like a smooth talker and the women love him. And we're also talking about the character of Princess Leia and where she's at in her life. And the two don't necessarily go together.
So she's just not a normal girl who would fall over him. But most would.
Most of them would.
Got it.
That's why he kicks into, like, Mac Daddy mode. Because it's obviously worked for him on Cloud City. And all he sees is another woman. He doesn't see a rebel leader. He doesn't see any of that. He just sees another woman showing up.
Hey, I'm going to bring in the prequels again. Even though this isn't actually what happened. It's like, why did they want Samuel Jackson in... Episode one at that time, because he was hot as a black actor. He was hot, and you know they didn't actually use him well, but it would have been, I guess, hypothetically, like if he was real loud, if he was yelling and real aggressive in those movies, and you would be like, why is he yelling so much?
Yeah.
It's like, that's why you hire him.
Yeah, it's like you hire Samuel Jackson to do Samuel Jackson things in a movie. But they sort of quiet that down. Except for that last fight, he gets some of a little bit of that comes out.
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, it's so diluted. And also, it's like, yeah, anybody would be mad at that point.
Right.
He's still not being Sam Jackson.
Right.
And then there was to say, I know we are still in the midst of this whole clusterfuck that was developed from Harvey Weinstein and all of the fallout.
I don't know if that's the right phrasing, but okay.
I think it's exact. Well, sure. Okay. But I do want to kind of say, don't take it wrong or whatever, but he doesn't force himself on her, right? And I know that, like, within workplaces and stuff, like, that's not the only type of sexual harassment or this or that, but he's just trying on the lines that he has. He offers to kiss her hand. She willingly gives it to him. And then he doesn't, like, grab her all the time. He's not aggressive. His just... His lines, his moves don't work on her. So...
And we've seen a lot of problematic behavior in some of these 80s movies.
Yeah.
And I don't think Lando is one of those characters.
Yeah, he's trying to be a gentleman, like, in a way that's kind of regressive from our point of view now.
And especially regressive for someone like Leia
in
the movie, who's like, I don't have time for this.
Exactly.
Okay. So, I've got a lot of questions for you. Why don't we start with how were you introduced to either Empire Strikes Back or Star Wars, this trilogy, 4, 5, and 6?
I don't even remember. Everyone was doing it. It was like a thing. Everyone watched it. By the time I was born, it was the thing.
It was the thing.
And so, I'm sort of birthed into it like everybody else. My dad talks about going to see the first movie and like the line being wrapped around the theater.
That's my mom talks about making every boy who wanted to date her take her to Star Wars.
Those kind of things happen.
So that was the one thing I wanted to mention about Empire, right? Is that the first one, we talked about this last week or recently, where people didn't know what A New Hope was. They didn't know what Episode 4 was. They just were like, Star Wars, okay, let's go see it. And then it was like, everyone was like, you have to go see it. And it became a big thing. So... Thinking back to 1980, May 17, 1980, with this coming out, they must have been so excited. Like, now they actually have something to expect and something to anticipate. Yeah. And how awesome that would have been to sit there when it started.
Well, and the thing about it is that they didn't have the trailer culture that we did. And I think my dad was saying, like, he had no idea what the next movie was about.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think they're just like, yeah, this is coming out. There was no internet. There's no, you know, whatever. But, like, I was going to say, like, my introduction to Star Wars was very much like yours, even more so probably because you're a few years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Return of the Jedi was already out by the time I was born. And I just knew all these movies as a collection of disconnected scenes, like, as early as I can remember. Mm-hmm. Right? I knew that Vader was Luke's father as early as I can know almost anything. You know, so that was I was really interesting for that to have been a surprise for somebody, because that's just never been a surprise for me. And in fact, there's a period of years, probably around fifth or sixth grade through like eighth or ninth, where I was watching those three Star Wars movies on average 7-8 times a week. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I got the efficiency down where I was just watching. I would watch the scenes I liked from the first movie, the entire second movie, and the scenes I liked from the third movie. And it would just be like, I'd watch that a couple of times a day. Whenever I could, I'd come home, you know, maybe skip cartoons. Like, I was watching those movies. So Star Wars is very influential to me. It's like an ingrained part to me.
So you may be surprised to know this. My introduction to Star Wars was the movie Spaceballs. Mm-hmm. And people explaining to me what was funny about it. Because I did not know any of the references. That was my introduction to the Star Wars world, was Spaceballs. So you should know that. My introduction to, I know it's the wrong quote, but Luke, I am your father, mm-hmm. was Tommy Boy. When he's speaking into the fan, Luke, I am. And I didn't understand that and had to ask. And I forget whoever I was watching with was like, what is that? And they're like, oh, it's this movie where he reveals that he's the dad. I had no idea. So
you have a similar history with Star Trek too, right?
Yeah. So my, in terms of these episodes, I think maybe we were in fourth grade and they were re-released into the theaters.
Oh no, that would have been maybe seventh grade. Yeah. They do that in like 96.
Yeah. It was like late 90s.
Okay. So again, people standing in line to go watch this movie that I don't know what it is. And I'm like, why are there so many people in line to watch this? No idea. So I'm not sure when I actually finally saw these.
Did your parents not like them?
I have no idea. It's not in my world at all. So, FYI. So,
it's literally, literally, and figuratively, literally, inconceivable to me.
Right, and we watched movies. I mean, in Hawaii, it was hot. So, like, when we didn't really want to go to the beach, we went to movies back to back because we were wanting to sit in the air conditioning. It was a thing. I saw a lot of movies.
Yeah, but those wouldn't have been in the theater.
Right, but they would have been in my air-conditioned home. Like, so we watched a lot, but mm-hmm. I had no idea.
So, I don't even want to, like, I'm sure the statute of limitations is up, but, like, these were just these VHSs that my parents had taped off of. Had recorded off of TV. That was my initiation into Star Wars. Just watching the, and you had to rewind on that tape. Man, I have the greatest memories of watching these movies.
Yeah.
Okay, so speaking of great memories, starting from the beginning again of episode 5, you first see, I don't know, it's like maybe 10 minutes in, maybe 5. Han and Leia interacting, and it's the first time I've seen it since like a lot of years have passed, and I was so happy, like, oh, you're gonna get married, you're gonna love each other, like, just knowing that romance. It turns out I love that romance, and so it was really like nice to watch that again and see them talking before that, you know, they're developing this relationship. It's not quite there yet, and that was really fun.
They don't really establish that they get married until episode 7, do they?
Yeah,
I spoiled it a little bit. I was just...
No, that's all right.
Okay, cool. So, different thing, like complete opposite feeling. 17 minutes, 50 seconds into the movie, Leia kisses Luke. That is her brother. So gross.
He's okay, so here's the thing, right? He wasn't her brother, I think, at the time this movie was made.
He was not her brother at the time the movie was made.
They didn't really plan that out until
what? Later.
Yeah,
that's why they have weird chemistry.
Yeah. They have weird chemistry there.
It's supposed to be like a love triangle between him and Han and her.
And it's also why like Vader doesn't feel Leia like he feels Luke, because mm-hmm. she's not his daughter at that time.
Well, actually, I think okay. So here's the thing, right? They do say that there's another Skywalker, right?
Yeah.
So I think their plan was always that they had like. Interviews, I think with Leonard Maltin or something, on the versions that I finally bought a while back, or a while later, probably middle school or something like that. And I think at some point they say, yeah, they hadn't sketched out who it was going to be. They hadn't decided that it was going to be Leia, right? But that there was, the idea of twins, I think, was already there.
Right.
That's really
or cool. Siblings, I should say.
Okay, so that also helps one of the things that I had an issue with, which is Leia and Luke are the same age. They're twins.
Right.
So Han is always calling Luke a kid, but he's going to bone his sister, who's not a kid.
Because the baby face. He doesn't mean like a literal kid. He's just like a young punk. It's a nickname. It's not a literal kid.
And what is the age difference between
them? They're not that far apart.
Okay. Maybe that's like what 4 or 5 wondering. Years. I'm just like, so he's a kid, but she's eligible.
Well, here's the thing though, right? He's a kid because he's been a farm boy, yeah. Right? His whole life. Han's been flying around the galaxy for however long is world weary or mm-hmm. you know, knowledgeable. And Leia is royalty / political / running a rebellion, right? And so it's almost a little progressive that he wouldn't just call her a girl or treat her like she's a kid.
Right.
But you've got Luke out here who's kind of fresh-faced, doesn't know what's going on.
Got it. Did you guys notice that we don't see Vader for 20 minutes in this film?
Yes.
That's a long time to wait for him to appear. I was surprised.
I think by the standards of movies nowadays, but yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, could this movie be made nowadays?
Yes.
The way it was made? I don't think it would be.
I was just watching John Wick, and you don't actually see him killing one for the first half hour.
Yeah, but that's not the introduction of a character. You get the main villain right away in John Wick.
I think you can introduce characters. It's just funny, because, like, when I think of Empire Strikes Back, I think of Vader. And so I'm like, wait a second. When he appears, I realize, whoa, I've watched a lot of movie already. I'm in this world. And you're only now appearing.
I think it goes back to what Kenan was saying earlier about it sort of being this sort of long story that you sort of are dropped into.
Yes.
So there's not the normal structure of a film because you're sort of dropped into a story. So the part where we open up at, he's not showing up until later.
And he's there. He's there. In your head. He's there, but yeah, you don't see him. I thought that was really interesting.
Well, he is there. I don't know. Like, if you watch it the first time, would he be in your head? Like, if, assuming you didn't see, like, trailers that showed a bunch of stuff, you don't know that Darth Vader is the Darth Vader we know of by the end of the third movie.
Right.
There could be just half a dozen guys like this out here who do the Empire's dirty work.
Yeah.
True.
You get dropped into Vader, like, oh, is Vader still on? He's still chasing him.
Yeah.
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 Okay, so sticking with Vader, mm-hmm. I thought it was very funny, I think is the right word for it, comical, entertaining, that when they, so Luke has made it out and he's like meeting Yoda and Vader and the Emperor are talking and Emperor's like, that is Anakin Skywalker's kid. And knowing that already and knowing that Vader knows what that is, it was very funny because it was basically a parent negotiating for the kid's life. He's negotiating. He's like, all right, I'm going to do this.
I always love the line, the son of Skywalker must not become a Jedi.
Yes.
Yeah. But he's just like, first they're like, we got to kill him. And he's like, we can turn him. How about that? He'll be a great ally.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to kill him.
He doesn't want to kill him. And he's negotiating to keep him alive.
And you don't necessarily know why.
No, you don't. But it's just very interesting knowing now, watching it and being like, yeah, that's a parent being like, I don't want to kill my kid.
But it also seems like it also comes across and can still be read as, let's not waste a valuable resource.
Yeah.
You know?
And since he's been turned, he knows that that's something that he could possibly do. So that flies with the Emperor. Like,
yeah,
hey, I got turned, so, you know, maybe I could turn him, and there we go.
It's a logical winning argument, but it's not necessarily what his, like, he's thinking of his best argument with his Emperor, but it might not be why he really wants to make it happen.
And he also, he says he will join us or die. Like, he's, like, this is worth a try, but we could still, I mean, let's just make the murder plan B.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Tim.
Yes, sir.
What do you think was in people's mind of what the Emperor was in the first movie? Because were you expect, like, he is so different than what I would have expected watching the first movie. Because that's a very, like, kind of British sort of militaristic sort of organization that you see. And I think of something more like the Emperor from like Dune or something like that. I think the movie version of Dune is a better portrayal of the Emperor than the miniseries, which I love. But we can get to that some other time because we're going to do Dune.
I'm going
to
do Dune.
All right.
But yeah, what would you think the Emperor...
I don't know. I don't know if I ever thought about that.
I remember thinking about it, which is weird because I always knew what he looked like.
Yeah. I never thought about what he... I just assumed he was some shadowy, like, figure who sort of barked orders at Vader and, like, a big bad, not, like, a dude in a hoodie.
I would think of an emperor as, like, a king. Kind of, yeah, like...
But Thanos is like that, kind of, no?
The Marvel movies kind of made that... He's more like maybe what I thought the Emperor might be. Because he's out on a big throne.
Yeah.
Like, he's out,
literally,
like...
floating in space.
Floating in space. like with no Netflix, no nothing.
At a place called the Sanctuary.
We don't see where the Emperor is.
No.
Like, in this, we don't see where he is. He could be sitting on a throne. We don't see
the
that.
Same with Snoke in Episode 7.
Exactly. And then the other thing is that... What was your impression of how long the Empire had been around? Like, I had no idea that the Emperor necessarily was the first Emperor.
No, I had no idea. I hadn't even thought about how long it had been around.
Yeah, I mean, they say that they used to be part of the Republic, or the days of the old Republic or whatever. Right. So clearly some part of the Republic was around.
And then they separated.
But yeah, like, I just thought it was a longer process, or that the Empire had spread out, or just what? And then, I mean, oh, hey, I'm going to bring up the prequels again. That all made it seem like it was, like, the idea of a galactic empire that lasted that short of a time. Mm-hmm. I guess that makes it, there's a ton of Nazi references. I guess that kind of makes it another Nazi sort of parallel, where it's like, this is going to be the Third Reich that lasts for 1,000 years or whatever. It's like, oh no, actually, you've only got about a half decade left.
Right. Knowing that some of this was still being crafted as they were going and making these, I think it makes it a little bit difficult to know exactly what was supposed to happen from the beginning. But we know that Darth Vader is Anakin. So unless Anakin Skywalker can live past the normal humans' generations, we know that the Empire is about that long, that old.
No, we don't.
Empires
spread. Empires spread.
But we know that Vader was Anakin Skywalker, and we know that that was the point when he shifted. We know that that was the beginning of, like, what is happening here.
We don't know that that's the beginning of the Empire itself. We don't know where the Empire started, how long it was around, whether it like, how it took over the Republic.
That might be this branch of the Empire.
Yeah, there's all types of stuff like that.
So they don't say that during their explanations to, like, Luke of what's happened. They don't say Anakin Skywalker turned evil Jedi or evil Sith and they took over. Because it hasn't been that long. We know that. We know that from the lifetime. As long as, like, these kids are Anakin's kids and, like, that takeover is the way we've now seen it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's kind of clear how time passes there. But
my point being is that the Empire could have existed for 100 years, and its takeover of the Republic, its completion of the takeover of the Republic could have happened within the last 20.
Oh, I got you. Okay, yeah.
They call themselves
Empire, but they're not the ones in charge of the Republic.
Right, that region of space.
Fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, what was your favorite part of this movie? We're not going to go through all Star Wars because that would be hard, but this movie alone, what is your favorite part?
Oh, I know. There's so many, but I think I know.
Okay.
I cannot teach this boy.
All right.
The moment that, and like, the moment that Yoda drops the act, first of all, Yoda, an incredible creation.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, he's a puppet. But I never thought of him as a puppet until I was older, and really, I'd seen them, like, make a shitty looking version of the puppet or CG him or whatever. He's a presence with a personality, and he plays to the like, oh yeah, little green man, like, and then immediately swaps to basically kind of the archetype of the of, like, the Kung Fu master, right? And slash wise guru, sort of just like, and you're like, the weight, all of a sudden kind of the weight or the gravitas that he's able to bring immediately. And this is a puppet.
Yeah.
Yes.
Frank Oz is amazing. I mean, Jim Henson too. Did they work together at least in the creation of Yoda?
I think so.
Okay. But Frank Oz does the actual voice of Yoda. And so he's able to do, I guess because he's done Kermit and all. Well, no, he wasn't Kermit's voice. But he's done like Muppet voices. He just, that moment that where it all switches and then Luke looks and he's like, oh, this guy who I have judged, because this is the first step in, like, the world is different than what you have been raised to perceive, right? Things aren't as straightforward. And he looks and he realizes, you're the little green guy who was acting silly and going through my stuff, and I was annoyed at you like you were a little pest.
He was annoying, though.
But he was testing. Yes, he was annoying.
He was annoying, though. Like, he was, his acting abilities were great, because he was irritating. So, he just was.
Yeah. I mean, whether or not he gave him, like, but he didn't ever try. The thing is that I guess if he was to try to, he's able to tap into the Force, right? Like, at this point, he can use some Force. He is able to sense the Force. But he saw this guy and never bothered to, in his mind, say, is this at all the guy I'm looking for?
Yeah.
Why is this guy right where I landed? You know? Yeah. He knew I was coming. Like in retrospect, you can look at all of this and be like, maybe you should have recognized. So anyways, that's my favorite moment where it shifts and he's like, oh, you're the person I've been looking for and I've disregarded you because you didn't look like what I expected you to look. And I'm going to cheat a little bit and also say the part where he says, wars do not make one great. Because what he was looking for was a mighty warrior, and what was he was actually sent to find was a true, like, essentially a spiritual mentor.
Good job. Tim, what's your favorite thing?
At the end, when they put Solo in the carbonite. Because Solo, up until that point, he's sort of like the selfish kind of hotshot guy.
Yeah.
And so when they're going to test it on Solo, as Vader says, there's all this hubbub, and he tells Chewbacca to save his strength because he has to take care of Leia. Mm-hmm. And then he calms everything down and just like, I'm going to be okay. And he doesn't know if he's going to be okay. Mm-mm. But he says, I'm going to be okay. And he sort of sacrifices himself for what's happening and like calms everything down and just gets the carbonite.
And you know how terrifying does it have to be for him? Because he's a smuggler, which means he knows about shipping and cargo and all of that.
And he knows the idea that he might not live.
On top of it, he doesn't know how long he's going to be in there or whatever, but they have no idea if he's going to live through the actual process.
They're a bounty hunter. And they even talk about, like, what if he doesn't survive? And he's like, the Empire will compensate you if he doesn't. Mm-hmm. Like, they're talking about him, like, what if he dies? We'll pay you if he dies.
Yeah, he's a total tester. Which is interesting because he goes in very calmly. Like, you know he's scared of shit, but he goes in calmly. And he lowers down, but when you see him after Frozen, his hands are up. Like, he was screaming. Mm-hmm. He was scared.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Also, the greatest improvised line in, like, the history of cinema, right?
Well, that was improvised?
I love you, I know.
Yeah.
That was an improvised line.
That's awesome. Which part was improvised?
Was it improvised, or I don't know if it's improvised as in he just said it on camera, but I think that
they wrote it in.
They wrote it as I love you, and he was like something more conventional, and he said that's not true to the character.
Okay.
And so he replaced it with I know.
Yeah, it's so great. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk about that a little bit more, but first, you guys mentioned the bounty hunter and the version
Boba Fett.
Yeah,
Boba Fett.
Boba Fett. So the version that I watched prepping for this recording, he speaks a few times, and he has a New Zealander accent voice.
Yeah.
Is that from back then, or was that a remake?
That must be remake stuff.
Okay. What was his voice like back in 1980?
It was like kind of
like a muffled, like he's wearing a mask.
Okay. That's a little disappointing. I was like, well, there's a brown guy back in
1980. But I think the guy who plays him is a brown guy, though.
Really?
In real life, really?
Yeah, the guy who plays him.
Back in 1980.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That makes me happy. So I'm excited whenever there's a Polynesian.
That reminds me of another interesting change that maybe you wouldn't have recognized, but the Emperor is not played by Ian McDermott. Is that his name?
Yeah.
Ian McDermott in this movie originally.
Right.
Ian McDermott is the actor who plays him in Return of the Jedi and all of the prequel movies. But in this movie, like originally, it was like an orangutan. It was like, how do I say? They did some digital, like, well, I don't know if it was even digital. They did some visual effects where they combined like animal face and this or that, and it looks really weird. Mm-hmm. But I always liked it. And then when they went and upgraded or updated, really, the movies or whatever you want to call it, they replaced it with him acting so that it was more in line with what happens later on.
Yep. So my favorite thing about this movie was when they drive into the asteroid field and they go into the hole in the asteroid and then it's like moving and there's mm-hmm. these little like bats,
big Minox
things on the ship yeah. and it turns out they're inside the giant worm. Like, I just think that was so fun. Just like, just hilarious. And then, oh wait, we gotta get out of here.
When he shoots the ground?
Yeah. And he's like, oh. And I'm like, oh, so gross. They're inside. Yeah. And then they're escaping and they're like, the cave's collapsing. Cave. It's
no cave.
Yeah. So that's my favorite part of the movie. So I think it's so funny.
Do you know that they consider doing a Boba Fett solo movie with Michael mm-hmm. B. Jordan?
That makes sense. He's loud. Kenan's done with all of them, right?
There's some things that, like, if you give more of an explanation about, it's not going to be. Like, this. Like, I like that he was New Zealander, or he was New Zealander, right? Mm-hmm. And, but, like, learning about where Boba Fett came from was ridiculously dumb. Oh, he's a clone of Jango Fett, blah, 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 blah. That was lame.
I have another game.
A game?
Another game for us.
I like games.
Okay. Yeah. Let's all right. So I picked my four favorite quotes from this film.
Okay.
I think it would be interesting to hear what your favorite quotes, you don't have to have four, you could have some. What your favorite quotes, because there's a lot, right? What are your favorite quotes? And I think, Tim, you asked us earlier who our favorite character is. Mm-hmm. I think whichever character ends up with the most favorites between the three of us wins.
Are we going to start writing this down?
MVP. I have a pen and paper. All right. We'll have an MVP or a quoter. So I have my four already written down.
Let's go one at a time.
No, I'm going to save mine because they're already written down. So you guys should go and then I can say mine. Because I don't want to say mine and then give them away.
Of course you've got quotes. Never tell me the odds.
So never tell me the odds is one. That's who says that?
Mm-hmm. That's Han Solo.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wait. Gonna find a clean piece on this paper. Okay, so we're gonna do H1. Any others?
Any Han Solo quotes?
Any of your favorite quotes from this movie?
Probably Vader saying we tested on Solo. This is
great. Like, oh, but we don't want my kid to be killed, yeah. So let's mm-hmm. test it let's on someone else.
Test it on someone.
I'd hate to have to leave a garrison.
Yeah.
Apology accepted, Captain Nita.
Yeah.
Who says that?
Vader.
Oh, yeah. He, like, killed. Because he was like, I'll apologize to Vader. And
yeah. It's all, he's a very understanding boss.
On the ground.
Listen,
dead.
That's the parallel to that one in episode 7.
Yeah.
Where they go and he's just tearing up the room. Kylo's tearing up the room. Yeah. And they just turn around. I really like that.
All right. If I can tell you some. We actually haven't done mine yet. Well, we kind of did. Kenan, you didn't say it was one of your favorite quotes just now during the game, but we've already talked about it. Was I love you, I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like,
it's one of mine as well.
Absolutely. So
she could use a good kiss.
Who says that?
Han Solo. Or not she. You could use a good kiss.
Okay.
And I'd as soon kiss a Wookiee. Yeah.
is that a Leia quote?
That's a Leia quote.
I'd as soon get a Wookiee? Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, oh, Leia. We don't have time to discuss this in committee. I am not a committee.
Yeah.
So that's also on my list. No time to discuss this with committee. And so that's Han. I don't think Leia gets it for that one. I think Han.
No, that's a joint one.
Yeah.
I am not a committee. Mm-hmm. Okay.
But he's telling her she's a
and
committee.
And then Chewie, take the professor in the back and plug him into the arc. Yeah. Yeah. Try it.
The professor.
Okay, I have a Yoda one, which is the do or do not. There is no try.
Yes.
It's a very good one.
I had a poster growing up of all Yoda quotes.
Yeah, he's got
so many good ones. Yeah.
Okay, the only one I have left is another Han quote, shut him up or shut him down. And yep. that was so yep. clever. Like, yeah, shut him up Tom's or shut him down. He's brilliant.
He's great in the movie.
Okay, so that's those are all quotes. Of my quotes. Do you guys have any others to add?
I'm sure you have a bunch.
What did he say? You said you wanted to be around when I made a mistake.
Who says that?
Han.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I can't remember off the top of my head what her response is. It float away. And she says, like, the rest of the garbage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She also says to him, sometimes you're brilliant. Not often, but sometimes. And I thought that was kind of funny. You have your moments.
And we talked about it before with Lando saying, they're looking for some goddamn Skywalker. It was one of my favorite quotes.
Okay.
Some goddamn Skywalker. The way he said it. Yeah. Yes.
Flipping like, that's this guy.
Ooh, who do we have here?
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
And C-3PO. Hello, I'm C-3PO. Human cyborg relations. Just the way he says it as Lando is just looking at Leia.
Yeah.
What else did he say? There are a lot of quotes.
So, again, you have to pick your favorite quotes. You can't just pick, like, a...
This is my favorite
many.
Movie.
I know, but you've named many, so you get, like, two more.
It's a lot. It's a limit. Mm-hmm.
Tim can also have some more because he didn't say that many. So he remembers
them. I can't even remember off the top of my head what my favorite ones are.
I've got this kind of really random one. So he says, we can rule the galaxy as father and son, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like, no, blah, 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 blah. And he says, come with me. Every time I hear him say that now, I think of Hail Mary by Tupac. Come with me.
He also, I think,
a great sequence,
iconic too. Quote, even though it's misquoted a lot, but the I am your father.
Right. Mm-hmm. No, that one's great.
I think it goes.
Obi-Wan never told you.
Yeah.
Like, okay, so...
It's just his voice, though. Everything he says
did,
is good.
I was going to say, did James Earl Jones. I almost said something different. That was completely wrong. Did he win anything for this?
I don't think so.
That's a fucking crying shame.
Yeah, he's really good at it.
He's incredible. And you know, like, the story that the guy who was... Well, at least in the first movie, the guy who's in the Vader suit...
Didn't know that they
were going to replace his voice. So, there's tape of him saying the lines. And he was just like, no, dude.
Can you imagine going out and hearing someone else's voice?
That's so sad. That's so sad.
Okay, I'm going to see if I can find one more.
So while you're thinking, I'll stay on that point, which is the actor didn't know that he was going to be Luke's dad. Like, in that scene of him revealing, he doesn't even know what he's saying. He's saying something else, and it's his different voice later.
Okay, oh.
So that's kind of funny.
All right, so since I can't have it anymore, I'm just going to throw out the last one, and it's a Han quote. It says, your tauntaun will freeze before you reach the whatever marker. Then I'll see you in hell.
Okay.
So
oh no, there's another one. Good morning. when they come to rescue him.
Yes. Yeah.
And he's like,
okay. Nice for you to show off.
So how about this? We're not going to record. I mean, we're almost done with the episode. I will leave these up. If we think of some other quotes, we can keep tallying and we'll announce at the end who wins. Because we're almost done.
Here's my proposal. My proposal is that we do special episode on episode 8. Okay. Where we continue to go into this movie because I fucking love it. We compare the themes roughly.
I think they're going to be very parallel.
Yes. The parallel is non-spoilery.
Yeah.
And then we have a bomb-ass spoiler section. And just because I like an hour is not enough time for me to talk about The Empire Strikes Back.
I like it.
I think that's fair. I will agree on condition that I get to ask you two more questions.
You can ask me all the questions you want about this movie.
Okay, so... First question, back on the snow planet, they're out scouting for something. Han's going to go back in, and Luke was like, okay, but there's some meteorite that I need to check out, or I want to check out. Why does he need to check out a meteorite? Why would he be doing that?
I don't know.
What's he looking for? What? Why would he be, like, splitting off?
Because he has a feeling.
Okay. So...
And if this place... Well, no, they said there's been a lot of meteorite, they said... Yeah, I'm not quite sure. Maybe it's just to get the plot going, but...
Yeah, it seemed like a weird thing.
But he was close by, I think, is maybe the other thing. Maybe there's something useful in it.
Okay, so that's a question. The other question I have is, as Luke is leaving Yoda and Obi-Wan to go save his friends, Obi-Wan says he's our last hope. And then Yoda says there's another. Mm-hmm. Who is the other hope?
The other Skywalker.
Which is who we're going to be learning about soon.
No.
The last Jedi.
Leia. No, Leia.
Oh, Leia is the other hope.
So, yeah, I was mentioning earlier that they had always intended for there to be another Skywalker child. And they did not establish, or they didn't really establish until the third movie that they wanted it to be Leia.
Right.
Okay. But Leia, is Leia the hope? She the, like, she doesn't have the Force, does she?
She does.
She does.
But well, then so why the can't Vader they, feel her like he can feel Luke?
They at the did time, not. They didn't know it was Princess they didn't, Leia.
Yeah, oh, so this is kind of retroactive.
It's a shame. A little bit of a shame. If only they had known.
Well, yeah, because it's real. It's real weird because they're face to face in the first movie when he destroys Alderaan.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's a plot hole of sorts, and I don't know. I mean, does she have the Force? They don't actually really. They kind of establish it in the third movie, which is something we're going to get to because it was 1983. But he says, you know, my father has it, I have it, my sister has it. You know,
that was also in the voiceover for Force Awakens in the trailer.
Was well, exactly they took that line, right?
Yeah.
So and
it's just
and
not
you know
as
what?
Strong.
If I want to do what you would call headcanon, there's also the possibility that her manifestation of the Force isn't in the same way.
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And we might find out more about that in this new episode.
Exciting.
Where she dies.
Yeah.
Okay. So I told you about Spaceballs being my introduction to this series, and I think the funniest part about that, aside from Rick Moranis in that big old helmet, which is just so funny.
The name Lord Helmet, I love that.
Yeah.
Is Princess Leia, because my introduction to her is her singing in that jail cell, and her voice is like super low. It's a dude's voice, swing low. Mm. Anyway, I've never been able to take Leia seriously because like that's
she's
her singing
character.
Voice as far as I can tell.
Like, in the first movie...
She's a
wonderful character for women in the 80s. I think she was a great role model in terms of she was kind
Linda
of
Hamilton.
Mean. I did think she was kind of like...
They cut back on that by the second movie a lot. She's a lot more of a likable character.
Yeah, I think so. And then I also want to, I don't know, just say rest in peace. Whoops. Sorry. Say rest in peace to Carrie Fisher because I did love her. And like as a person, I've loved her. And it's really sad that she passed so recently. And
they're a great trio.
Yeah,
they really, really are. They're really good together. And then the other thing I wanted to mention in terms of my introduction to Star Wars, I should have said it earlier, I forgot. The other piece is Disneyland. There's that Space Wars. Have you guys been to Disneyland? There's a space.
No.
Oh my gosh. So it's my favorite ride at Disneyland. I think it's called Space Wars. You go through this really, really, really long line. You see, it's all Star Wars themed. You can see C-3PO, you see R2-D2.
Right.
And then you go into this room and you sit down and you go on a spaceship and you're like flying around and like going fast and short and like, it's wonderful, right? My favorite. But I did not know Star Wars like the first many times I rode that ride. So it's interesting because like, C-3PO and R2-D2 were definitely there. They're like in the ride with you, and I didn't know who they were or any concept of that, but loved it. It was so
What's
funny,
though, is that they could be generic robots. I mean, the design of C-3PO, you can see he's based off of an older, probably 40s or 50s robot. Have you ever seen that? Yeah. So, I mean, to a certain degree, like somebody who really knows Star Wars would be like, oh, yeah. But they are kind of generic robot-y. Well, he in particular is.
I don't think so at Disneyland. I don't know. I don't think at Disneyland it could be. Like,
no,
he's
not saying that it's not them. He's saying that, like, even if you don't have a reference for it, the fact that they're such generic robots, people will be drawn to them.
Yes. Like,
just like Pirates of the Caribbean, that ride, it's like it's archetypical pirates. You know,
if you know the story, you know who these people are. But if not, then it's just pirate stuff.
Yeah.
But I was gonna say that reminds me. I don't think I was on that ride, but when did Captain EO come out? Are we going to
Michael
be
Jackson.
Reviewing Captain EO at some
we
point?
We can.
That was so fun. It was right next to that ride. Same Tomorrowland.
Didn't the woman have like really like long Freddy Krueger sort of fingers? And they came.
Man, I do not even remember.
I remember the 3D. That was like,
yeah,
whoa.
I think they come out at you, her nails or whatever.
Yes, so much fun. I also got lost from my group going into the Star Wars, going back to the Space Wars one. Yeah. I don't know how I got lost. They were going to go on the ride. I didn't. So I cut as a kid, went past every single person in that line. It's a really long line, and said, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. Just kept looking for my people. Got all the way to the front and like went on the ride because that's the next step. Came out and like didn't find them. Anyway, I found them later. Like I just started waiting in front of the ride. Like turns out when you get lost, you're supposed to stay put in one spot and they'll come find you. But anyway, I like
a lesson you still haven't taken fully to heart.
It takes me a minute. I don't realize I'm lost until I've already walked away. Denon has lost me a couple times, but it's also interesting memory, which I feel really bad about. I didn't intend to cut in front of everybody to go on the ride again. That really wasn't my point. But I did get to go on the ride really quick. It's kind of a plus. Silver lining. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Do you guys have any final thoughts that you want to mention before we do a special episode with episode 8 and 5 and all of the ones in between?
No.
If you haven't watched this movie,
who hasn't watched your this?
Life there are people who haven't watched it.
Like they you. Should watch you it. You got significantly into your life without watching this movie.
I know. But I figure if I'm the last to get there, everyone else must have.
Been. I'm immediately, when we're done here, I'm going to ask your parents if they had watched that movie.
You should ask
them. I think it's insane that you hadn't seen this movie.
Yeah. No concept. I remember Dune came on TV, and you guys mentioned Dune. Mm-hmm. It came on TV, but I think I had a concept for that before I had a concept for this, and I didn't really have a concept for that.
I but didn't see the Dune movie Dune. Until college, I think.
I saw it at some point. I don't remember what I saw.
But I was a fan of the book, and everything I heard was that you shouldn't
watch the movie.
Yeah.
Whatever I saw, it was wrong. Because it was sand, and it was the first time I had heard the word Dune, so I had to ask what Dune meant, and anyway.
Speaking of Dune, a major influence on a lot of the visuals of Star Wars.
Yeah. Is it? So one of the things...
Specifically, like, what do you call it? Tatooine.
One of the things that I have on this paper of notes that I have that we can save for later was the parallels with Dune, because there are many.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun to talk about probably next time.
Yeah, for sure. This?
Okay, any other final thoughts for you guys?
No. Great.
All right. Do you want to say happy birthday to me one more time?
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Enjoy your birthday.
You.
Thank you very much.
Happy birthday to you. Boom, boom, boom. Happy birthday, dear Shalia. Happy birthday to you.
I'm not, no offense, but it sounds really painful. But don't worry, because we're going to sing for each of you on your birthdays too.
Sure.
Yes. Wait, you said my singing sounds painful?
You guys sound like you're, like, really being
it's
forced
long,
to do
it's
it.
It's a long day.
It has been a long day.
It's a long day.
Man, I was putting all my heart into that.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
But it just, I feel your pain. Anyway, I appreciate it. That's Made in the 80s. We will be back next week. Hope you enjoy watching Star Trek Episode 8. What's released? The Last Jedi?
Hold on. Watch what?
What did I say?
He said Star Trek.
Ooh, okay, sorry. In fairness, I knew Star Wars before I knew Star Trek.
Facepalm.
I know the difference between them. I'm not sure why that.
You gotta give Kenan an aneurysm.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I do know the difference. I'm not one of those people who say they're all the same. I do know. Sorry. So that we hope that you enjoy watching episode 8 of Star Wars, and we hope that you rewatch episode 5 if you haven't watched it recently, because it's, I think the best is this. Is 5 all of our favorite?
Yeah.
So actually, I do like the Ewoks. I know that's probably another Facebook moment. All
right, it's time to end the episode.
Like
all
right, we'll episode's over.
In the 80s.
If you're enjoying us, please give us a rating. We would appreciate getting a 5-star rating from you on iTunes. If you have questions for us, why don't you email us and we will be happy to discuss them on air or amongst ourselves. And feedback is always
Please do write us a review. We'll read it on, we'll read it.
Yeah, if we get a review, we would totally read it.
Yes.
I think it'd be great. So our email address is mit80s.podcast@gmail.com. It's in our show notes now. And we hope you have a good week. Talk to you later from Club South End. Bye.
Club South End.
Oh, and by the way, Han Solo, you won. You so low did all of the best quotes, I think. That's how you say it.